I'm going to make a few comments on the Bible reading we had earlier now, and then we'll pray, and then that will be the service. Mel, do you think we could go back to the reading on the screen? I think that would be really helpful. Yeah, I think you guys remember the story? How many sheep did the shepherd have? 100. And he lost one, and he went and searched for the one out into the open country to go and find the one. And he puts the sheep on his shoulders, doesn't he? About who God is. You know, we live in a world where I think as people look around the world, and I think about the world that Nicholas will grow up into. I think about my kids and their future. It's a world where hope is, it feels like it's a bit like trying to pick up a handful of water. You have it for a moment, you see that it's possible, you feel that it's there, but the next thing you know, it's gone. Because I think the world we live in is full of lostness, really. It's full of chaos and disaster. It's full of people who are broken and in need. It's full of sickness, and it is full of evil. Like, it's a really confronting thing to stand up and say, I renounce all evil. Because the nature of this world is it's so full of it. And you think, am I really in my life going to be able to uphold justice? It was one of the things they promised. To renounce all of evil. Because the nature of the world we live in is so indeed lost. And so Jesus tells this simple story about God because he wants, not only does he want to give hope, but he actually wants to challenge the attitudes of people who think that there are those beyond hope. It's the first couple verses. This is the context of the story. Jesus is eating with sinners and with tax collectors. Now, in modern society, the tax collector is an online website on the computer. And so you kind of don't really feel the weight of this. But if you were to change that little word to a debt collector, if you've ever been in the power of a debt collector, and you know the threats of violence that come with debt collectors and the reality that actually owing difficult, perhaps we might even say bad people money, is a very serious thing. And they carry a weight of a life where you want to avoid them. In the ancient world, this was how the Roman Empire collected taxes. They gave local people the right and authority to use Roman soldiers to collect a certain amount of money. Depending on the Romans said, there's so many citizens living in this area, you should collect at least this much money to hand on to us. But you're allowed to collect as much as you want. And so it was a fantastic scheme for someone to become fabulously wealthy using Roman soldiers to extort, really, as much money as they want. When it describes sinners here, it doesn't in this story explain what that means, but we know in other places that Jesus was a friend with prostitutes, with people who were far away from the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the religious priests. They were the upright, righteous people who spent their times reading the Bible and studying it. And yet here we see Jesus is a man who sits down and eats. Not so much with the religious people, although we do have accounts of him doing that, but it often ends up with conflict because Jesus says he came for the lost. In my job with older people in residential care, we often have to fill in a form and we ask people, and sometimes I'm talking to someone who's 97, I'm talking to someone who perhaps has had a stroke, I'm talking to someone who is facing the end of days, and I say, what hope have you for your life? And mostly people say, well, I'm at the point where I'm not very useful. I'm pretty useless now. There's not much that I can do. Perhaps people say at times, and I've had a few people say, well, I've had a really good life, and so I'm just going to let life go behind me, and there's nothing left for me. Every now and then, I meet someone who says, I'm a really good person. I've only done good things. And I have absolutely no fear about the future. I have no worry about what's going on because I can just live out my days as a really good person. And at this point, the truth is Jesus didn't come into the world for them. Jesus says that he's like a doctor who came for sick people. He came for lost people. And so he's out with the lost people, eating with them. Jesus is from God as that shepherd chasing down the one sheep. He wants to find people in their lostness to bring them home to God. The people who are righteous, who think that they have nothing to worry about, well, Jesus says, okay, if you're not worried about facing your almighty maker one day, so be it. Now, we also know, and occasionally I do meet people who are honest about their life. And the truth is, as I was sitting with a beautiful old lady yesterday, remembering the words of Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And she said, is that a blessing or a curse? Because who is pure of heart? Am I pure of heart? She looked at me and said, are you pure of heart? Will you see God? Because the truth is, if all of us actually are far from God, all of us in our own ways, some of us pretty good people, some of us perhaps complete rat bags, but all of us before God lost, that means we all need Jesus. And the beautiful thing about baptism is it's part of that celebration of the fact that God sent Christ into the world to find people. Now, when we celebrate, what do? We throw a party. We enjoy ourselves. And so what is Jesus doing here with these people? He's not come to preach at them. Can you see that? He's preaching at the righteous people. He's preaching at those who think they're good enough. With the sinners, he's eating. He is partying. He is celebrating the goodness of a God who rescues people. Jesus came feasting with people to celebrate God's goodness. I love this little story. It's so simple, and yet the challenge to us, I think, is not only have we been rescued by Jesus, but actually are we on board with who Jesus wants to be on about? Are we on board with Jesus' program of finding lost people and rescuing them? Who do you celebrate with? Who do you eat with? Who do you feast with? Is it with those who are lost being found? Now that is a challenge, isn't it? Because there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. God loves lost people and he loves finding them. He loves us. He loves you. He loves little Nicholas. Let me pray. Father in heaven, what a celebration of your character Jesus is demonstrating. That actually he tells a story of reaching out to lost people. In that story, you come and find people and then bring them home and celebrate. And here Jesus is eating with those who are lost. Father, we just pray that we would be among those found by Christ. And even if this morning, for the first time maybe even, we're realizing that actually we don't actually know God in this kind of feasting with Jesus kind of way. And that we'd like to say sorry and come back to him. Help us to know that he will welcome us with open arms. Father, we praise you that as Nicholas grows up in life, there is hope. There is hope of your welcome every day of his life. There is hope of the celebration in heaven that we can feast all together. Father, I really do pray that for every single person here, that on the day that they stand before their Creator and Maker, that they would be able to say, I trust in Jesus. I am a part of the celebration. Amen.